How would you fancy a £7,000 pay raise, bringing you up to a salary of £74,000? Well, that's what our MPs will be taking home, a pay raise of more than 10%. The body that sets the level of members' income says the increase will settle the parliamentary pay question for a generation. But at a time of austerity, when the government is making further cuts to welfare, should MPs be getting a pay raise? Well, on the line is the former Tory MP Gerry Hayes and the commentator Eamon McCann. We'll be hearing shortly as well, hopefully from the DUP MP Gregory Campbell, to see what he will be doing with his £7,000 extra in cash. But first of all, let's speak to Gerry. Gerry, obviously coming too late for you. You've now left Westminster. Yeah. But do you think they deserve this extra money?
Yes, they do. It's not a very popular thing to say. And I suspect the first thing the callers will say, isn't it a disgrace that MPs are awarding themselves this amount of money in the time of austerity? But you see, the point is, they're not. It's always been controversial. And so the government thought, and everyone agreed in the House of Commons, look, we have an independent pay review body, so we won't be doing anything ourselves. We won't even vote on it. We just let them sort it out. And they've said, to the embarrassment of everyone, it's 7,000 quid. Now, of course, there's going to be a queue of people, bleeding heart people, say, oh, I'm going to give my £7,000 or whatever it is to charity. And it's just absolutely ridiculous and appalling. The way we used to get around it, which led to all sorts of abuses, is keep pay down, but increase expenses. And do you see what happened there?
And can it really be justified, Gerry, in the current climate, given the fact that just a week ago the Chancellor was cutting money from everybody, and here we are now, and the MP's getting a tidy little sum?
Enda, you're absolutely right, and that's the way everyone will look at it. But of course, you're absolutely wrong too, because they are not awarding it themselves. It is not something they can actually do anything about at all, except give it away. It is a mechanism that has been brought in by Parliament to keep Parliament out of it. That's the difficulty.
Eamon, fair point. It's out of their hands?
Well, that's what they all say, isn't it? Well,
I'm being cynical,
but a bit of cynicism is called for here. You know, when the bankers get big bonuses and people are saying this is very unfair, you often hear the bankers saying, well, as a matter of fact, I didn't award myself this bonus. We have got an entirely independent remuneration subcommittee of the board of directors, and they've decided to give it to me. I just think, what can I do about it? So it's the system which is wrong, you know, and I believe that that MPs, public representatives, it's very ancient socialist principles, should be paid the average wage, roughly speaking, of the people that they represent. I believe that that should be true of trade union leaders as well, for example, and trade union officials. Give them a sense of oneness with the people if for whom they purport to speak. So it's a systemic problem here, sort of. It reflects what's happening in wider society.
But it has to be said, Eamon, that it's not going to come at any extra cost to the taxpayer, because the MPs are losing around 10% from their expenses and also from their pension. So it's, in a sense, making up that deficit.
Oh, that's great, isn't it? That's terrific. You know, sort of a substantial number of MPs, not all of them, of course, have been found to be fiddling their expenses. So there's, you know, a woe and lamentation in the land. And people say, we must do something about this scandalous situation. Tell you what, we'll consolidate those expenses into their salaries, and that'll make it okay. Now, in any other work, imagine in the BBC, I mean, heaven forfend, there was some expenses fiddling discovered. Do you think that the suggestion will be made, or that the authorities will simply say, well, OK, let's just redistribute those expenses so that the people who are claiming those expenses end up with the same amount of money anyway? That's what's happening here. And in some ways, I mean, it's a trick. It's a trick to give the public to believe that, that the MPs are doing nothing sort of untoward. They earn too much money as it is.
Do you smell a rat here, Gerry?
I've just listened to him a second ago. A very amusing analysis, but completely I'd be wrong. Look, Downing Street doesn't want this. None of the front bench want all this. And it's forced on. That's the difficulty. It's not a trick at all. The fact is, they thought they'd be rather clever. They'd get all the controversy out of the way and let an independent body do it. And they didn't expect them to pay them more money. In fact, I think they wanted to pay them more. I think 84,000 was what we're thinking. That's the situation as it is. It's up to MPs to do what they actually want. But I mean, it is for once, not snouts in the trough time.
And why don't they? Why don't they have the same deal as everybody else who get their wages from the public purse?
But then
whoever it was, and we've got a government which has imposed a 1% rigid, sort of unbreakable 1% limit, and sometimes 0% over the recent years for public sector workers. Why shouldn't that apply automatically? Why shouldn't the MPs bring about this situation? That applies to MPs as well.
What a brilliant idea. And in fact, why do we really hurt them? Let them be paid like I'm paid as a criminal barrister, whose fees have been cut by 45%. That will show them, won't it?
Well, if they cut the pay of MPs by 45%, then I can assure you that I will not be the first person out with a placard in the public street objecting to this. The fact is that the barristers are self-employed and so forth. I mean, MPs are not self-employed. MPs are employed by the public, and on many occasions only work part-time for the full-time salary they get from the public
purse.
That's
not true. That's not true. To say MPs work part-time is actually untrue.
You meet loads of them down in the law courts.
What are you talking about?
And not always in the dock.
Really? You know, it's always amusing stuff, but it is rather dangerous because it's just such dangerous nonsense. I mean,
there are no MPs at the bar.
I'm a full-time criminal barrister, right?
Yeah.
I have not seen, I do high-profile cases, I have not seen a single MP. What do you do? You get some of them working on advices and things like that.
Yeah.
But very few are in court. And to say they're working part-time, I think it's a bit of an insult to all parties. They work very hard.
Hold fire for now, gentlemen, because we're going to be hearing from an MP very shortly, Gregory Campbell. We're going to ask him, indeed, if he works out part-time or full-time, indeed, and what he is going to do with the £7,000 extra that he's going to be getting in his pay packet. Stay with us.
Hello.
Lots of listeners as well want to get involved in this particular discussion, and we also will be getting the thoughts of the political commentator, Seamus Clough. Now, we'll be coming to our listeners very shortly who are pretty exercised about this pay rise for our MPs. But first of all, Gregory Campbell, are you a part-time MP or a full-time MP? Clear this one up for us.
Well, I didn't know there was any lack of clarity. I'm a full-time MP. I work, well, I don't know whether it's 70 or 80 hours or thereabouts per week, but I represent people on a full-time basis.
And you're also an assembly member as well, so you have quite a workload, it has to be said. Now, talk to me about this pay rise.
For which I don't get any salary.
Yes.
You forgot to put that.
No, well, we know that already. Talk to me now about this pay rise.
I was allowed to say it.
Well, you're going to get an extra £7,000 in your MP salary. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to keep it?
Well, the first thing, Enda, is this. I think it's a bit of an ironic situation in 2015 when you have millions of people, both in the private and public sector, hardworking people who deserve a pay raise, should be getting a pay raise, and aren't getting a pay raise. And now you have a small number of people, i.e. MPs, who, whatever about the independence of IPSA and whether we deserve a pay raise or not, but most of us have said, look, the public mood is simply not there for this pay raise. So we're effectively saying, we don't want this pay raise. And IPSA are saying, well, you're going to have to take it because there's no way of refusing it. So that's the irony of the situation that we're in now at the moment. Now, what we've got to do is we've got to go to IPSA and say, look, it's not simply a case of saying, right, we were getting 67, we're now getting 74, that's 7,000. Take off tax and national insurance and leave a net figure. And then, as you say, what are you going to do with that net figure? Because they have said that there are changes to our pension contributions. So we will need to establish from IPSA, what is the net effect of this change? In other words, next month, what will the net difference be between what MPs are getting next month compared to what they were getting last month?
So that's
the amount of money that we then have to decide
what you're going to do with. So just to be clear then, so if you discover, for instance, that you're losing because of your pension and maybe the changes to the expenses as well, that you're losing up to 10%, because that is what we were being told by this body, that MPs are losing out on that you're losing 10% out of your overall package, so to speak, would you keep this pay rise because you'll feel you're entitled to it?
No, well, I don't think that will be the case, but let's hear from IPSA what is the case. It's simply impossible that the net difference in pension contributions per month will equal the net increase in salary per month. I can't see how that could be the case.
Well, with expenses with it, the changes in expenses combined with your pension changes will come to around 10%, is what we're being told.
Well, I don't think the expenses should be brought into it by any MP. That they simply don't have to claim those. So, you know, you can disregard those in terms of the equation. Now, I think the net difference has to be worked out. What an MP gets next month compared to what they got last month. That's the amount of money that we're talking about. Whatever expenses that Ipsa might be saying are being cut, well, then, you know, you've got to make alterations to your office or whatever so that you don't claim that money if it's not there to be claimed.
But do you think?
I don't think MPs could take that into account when working out how much money they have net of a difference to decide what they're going to do with.
So Gregory's going to be busy doing his sums. Eamon, what do you make of that?
Well, I think he should be saved the effort of having to do all those sums. I mean, it gets very complicated. You know, we're going to compare sort of an estimate of what an MP would have gotten gross and then what an MP would have gotten net and calculate the difference and so forth, blah, blah, blah. Far simpler it would be to move towards a situation in which public pay policy applied to MPs in exactly the same way as it applies to workers, for example, you know, working in the housing executive or workers working in education and so forth. I mean, MPs debate and devise, well, the government does an MP so a chance to vote on it, what the public pay policy is to be for all sorts of other people. Why doesn't it apply to them too? It would be a simple matter, it seems to me, to move towards that sort of situation. And I simply pose the question of if they're so unhappy, sort of, and so embarrassed, as some of them appear to be, about this pay raise, why not move to the sort of simple system which I advocate and which these embarrassing aspects of the matter will never arise again?
Isn't there a danger here, Gregory, that politics will be the loser in the long run? Because if you keep the salary as its current stands, as you would like to see happen, and the other MPs in Northern Ireland, it has to be said, then it will become less attractive for the bright sparks out there to get involved in politics, and we're going to be left with substandard politicians.
Well, I've heard that logic put forward. Of course, you know, if you take it to its natural conclusion, you would say, well, let's double the salary to get the really bright sparks. Let's put it up to 150,000. Let's put it up to the level at which some BBC executives are getting, you know, so that the amount of tax that is being paid is equal to the amount of salary that's been earned at the moment. That, you know, I just think that's ludicrous. The salary is what it is. In my view, 67,000 or whatever it is at the moment is an adequate salary. Many would argue more than adequate. And there are many highly paid people who would say it's a minimal amount. But the point is, Ipsa have decided what the salary should be. My view is that what should happen is this should all be done before an election, because I find people saying to me down through the years, look, after an election's over, we find invariably that MPs' pays are discussed after we've gone and voted and gone to the ballot box and made our choice. This should have been decided by Ipsa a year ago, and 6 months ago, everybody should have known exactly what was going to be happening, happen, done and dusted, signed and sealed, and then people could have said to their prospective candidates, what are you going to do about this salary? Doing it now 2 months after everybody's
been it was done months ago, actually. It was done months ago, wasn't it? We all knew what
it wasn't agreed, though.
Well, before the... Of course, because I read the newspapers. I think maybe he didn't come over to Northern Ireland, but everyone knew because Cameron was in incandescent with rage over it, and they're all trying to do a deal how to actually stop things like this happening.
Well, Jerry, that's not the point. It wasn't until yesterday morning that Ipsa announced formally and finally, here is the outcome, because we've taken our
We knew it was coming.
Well, everybody knows a lot of things are coming, but until it's actually done and dusted, we should have been at the point we're at now. We should have been at that point 6 months ago.
Let Jerry have his say.
Well, no, I've got to go. There's a strange man just walked in my garden with a...
Okay, Jerry, we appreciate your time. Thank you very much indeed for that. Seamus Close is with us this morning as well. Seamus, what do you make of all of this?
Well, I don't expect any member of the general public to clap their hands and welcome an increase of £7,000. And the reason for that is that politicians, people don't really trust politicians. They're well down the pecking order in terms of public acclaim. And when you add to that the whole timing of this issue, which is totally toxic, I mean, it's 2 months after an election. It's about a week after a budget. And it was a budget that seemed to concentrate on the austerity programme and hitting the poor and the vulnerable. So they will see this and interpret this as rubbing their noses in it. But as has already been suggested by Jerry, timing was never right. MPs were always faced with either just after an election or coming up with an election, and they didn't like to deal with the topic of increasing their salaries. So that's why they decided, some people might say it was by way of a sleight of hand, to give it to an independent body, namely the Independent Parliamentary Standards Authority. And they have decided, that the pay of an MP has fallen behind. They have looked at the job, not the personality, not the person who's knocking on the doors trying to be all things to all men and be rather populist in their approach. They have said that the job is very complex. They are the legislators for the country. They set the laws. Every single facet of all of our lives is dictated in some way or other by the laws that are set by these MPs. So it's more complex, for example, than that of a top policeman or a top teacher or of a banker.
And there's many people would argue there never is a good time to give a politician a pay rise. 0845955678. Let's hear what the listeners make of all of this. John, you're in Newton Abbey. What do you think?
Good morning. We haven't had a pay raise for the last 5 years. How can you say that's fair? These people say that it's simply an outside body. You know, can we not get on the same outside body that sets our wages, the same as the nurses?
Mm-hmm. Sounds as if you're emptying the bins as you speak, John.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, not... I've stopped now.
And do you not accept, John, that there are MPs, when you look around Europe, when you look elsewhere, that they're underpaid compared to others who do that particular job, and this was a wrong that needed to be put right?
Well, they're always telling us about putting their belts in. You know, does everyone not need to put their belts in? Is it just a certain few of us, or the majority of us have to put our belts in?
And what would an extra £7,000 a year mean to you?
I'll tell you what, I would find a good home, let me tell you. £700 would find a good home. Let alone £700 would find a good home. Never mind £7,000.
John, get on with your work. We'll leave you there. Thank you very much. Let's hear now from Stephen, who's in Derry this morning for us. Good morning, Stephen.
Morning, Anna. And I'm going to disagree with him. And actually, I think we have to try and entice the best politicians and the best qualified people into politics. And I'm listening to Gregory there when he spoke about, you know, raising the £150,000. And then you get all the bright sparks. Well, I think if that was the case, there'd be a lot of boys sitting in Northern Ireland out of a job. They'd be in the dole sign in the queue. You know, because at the end of the day, we need people in the job that know, that have the expertise to deal with health, education, things like that. Because that's where we're lacking. And I think we do need to have a good wage, but then cut the allowance, cut the, you know, the free lunches that they get and stuff like that up at Stormont and over in Westminster. Let them pay for their own, you know.
Mm-hmm. Pay them the money then, Eamon, and we're going to get the best results in the long term.
Well, I mean, if that principle were true, then we would find, would we not, we would find the most brilliant and idealistic people in society, right, at the top of industry and right, the highest earners sort of anywhere, wouldn't we? And we would find the most useless and venal people right at the bottom. And we don't find that, do we? I mean, we've just heard people saying what a complex and taxing job being an MP is. Is it more complex and taxing than being a bin man? We just heard from somebody out on the job doing that. Is it more complex and taxing than being sort of a ward sister in a major hospital on night shift? You know, there's a whole series of employments that we could think of jobs, which seem to me to be every bit as important, at least as important as what people do at Westminster. Our society couldn't run without them. Our society can't run sort of without public service workers. Why can't they have the same deal as MPs are getting? It seems to me that this is simply unfair. And what the controversy over the MPs' pay rise really reflects is a great deal sort of disillusionment and even anger about the unfair nature and increasingly unfair nature. The increasingly unfair nature of the society we live in with regard to income.
Okay, Gregory, Seamus is going to come back to you in a moment, but before we do, I want to hear from David in Belfast, who's pretty angry about all of this. David.
Absolutely. Good morning. It's an absolute disgrace. Absolutely. Any spare money should be going into the health service and also given to carers. Maybe if Mr. Campbell and his colleagues up there in the DUP were to live in £62.10 as a carer a week, then they'd understand what poverty is. At the end of the day, the DUP are trying to force welfare onto the poorest people in society, and yet at the same time, oh, give me, it's a disgrace. If this doesn't put people off and stop voting, I don't know what will.
Gregory, put your party in a tricky position.
No, I don't think it does. I think I've said what our position is. This ought to have been taken, this decision, about 12 months ago, so that in the run-up to the election, every single potential voter knew exactly what they were voting for and could have said to each candidate,
yeah, but
what's your position in relation to the salary?
But if you
it's
don't...
It's the wrong time.
If you don't,
the wrong amount,
if you don't give away the money, people will see you as taking this raise. Some of the other parties, some of the other MPs have said the SDLP, for instance, says they're giving it all to charity.
Yeah, yes, and they, if they're saying that, you and others need to say, well, exactly what is it that you're giving to charity? And I agree with that principle.
But it sounds as if they're going to be giving more than you.
Well, much is it then? Well, you obviously know what it is, so much is it?
Well, that hasn't been arrived at yet. The exact figure hasn't been arrived at yet. But hold on, Gregory. They've already made the commitment. They've already made the commitment, which is more than what you've done.
It doesn't matter about the commitment. It doesn't matter because unless you know what it is that they say they're giving, then it doesn't amount to a ball of blue.
So can you make the commitment now that whatever spare cash you have after you do your sums, you will give it away to charity?
I want to establish what the net difference is between next month's salary and last month's salary. And then at that point...
Why should that matter? If there's money there, extra money...
Well,
what matters is that you give a commitment to say, I'm going to give away this money to charity, whatever excess it is. Can you not say that?
Well, because we don't know what that is.
Well, do you need to know? Can you not say now that you're going to give it?
No. Look, if I go to a charity and I say, I want to give you an amount of money, and they say, well, that's very nice, thank you very much, how much is it? And I say, well, I don't know yet.
Let's hear from Breach. Breach, go ahead.
Hello, my name is Breach Brownlee. I run a local community forum, and we do a lot of community activities, and it's all completely voluntary. We have no paid workers. And I just have to say, I am totally disgusted by Tory MPs or any MPs accepting a 10% increase. And if anybody is willing to give that to a charity, we will gratefully accept it. I think in these times of austerity, when particularly youth workers are losing their jobs, who are the salt of the earth, for MPs to accept a 10% pay rise is an insult to the people who voted for them.
So you'd be glad to hear this morning then that the SDLP, for instance, have come out and said they're giving the money to charity. Gregory is undecided, yet he has to see what the figures add up to, and then he may do the same. So you're pretty impressed by all of that, are you, Breach?
Oh, definitely, and I'll be more impressed by accepting their cheque towards our city farm, which provides a fantastic community base within the greater St James's area. So anybody hand that money over, at least it would be going into the communities who really deserve it.
Let's hear from Joe in Banbridge. Go ahead, Joe.
I think Greggy's speaking right there. He's going to give it to charity, but I would like him to do one thing. All the politicians turn around, and they're out of a Tory hospital, and all the hospitals around Northern Ireland, all the notes work hard, but all the notes do a 12-hour shift. They have to pay to park their car up, and they're out of a Tory hospital. That's a sin. Why don't they turn around and say it's time the notes got free car parking at the hospitals are working? Could he do that?
Gregory?
Yeah, well, I think that's something that should be looked at, and certainly the health trusts need to examine that. But I think, and we're opening up a wider debate here, which actually could be quite useful, so that if we can establish that people who earn their salaries in the public purse and get a significant increase should look at the best way to deploy whatever that net increase is to the greater good, I think that would be a good thing. Now, if MPs are agreeing to do that, and I'm certainly very agreeable to do it, but we need to know, establish exactly how much it is to each of us, can we now say the same for those, say, for example, those who are highly paid out of the public purse from the BBC? Would they agree to do likewise? Would you agree to do that as well, Enda?
Well, if I was getting £7,000 extra a year in my salary, I might consider that.
Right, so you might. So then, if we can establish what you are getting and any increase that you've got, you'd be prepared to look at that.
I can tell you, I would rather swap pay packets with you any day.
Right, so you would be prepared to look at that.
working. But, you know, a lot of people listening...
Hold on a minute.
You see, Gregory, a lot of people listening may say that what you're doing now is what you accused others of doing yesterday on the programme, and that is putting up a smokescreen.
using a diversionary tactic to move away
from talking about your own personal situation and your own salary and what it's going to mean for you. And I can understand because people aren't comfortable talking about what they earn and what they're going to do with their money.
No, you can try and talk me down if you like, but what I have done is say, look, we need to establish exactly what the amount is, and then we decide then what we do with that exact amount, rather than simply plucking something out of the air and saying, yes, whatever the difference is, we'll give it, when we don't actually know what it is.
So
now, what I'm saying is, you're in the public purse, and others in the BBC as well. Are you prepared to do likewise?
Well, you're not avoiding any issue. You're raising a smokescreen. You are an elected representative, Gregory. Why can you not give the commitment, as other elected representatives have done, to say, we're not happy with this, we're going to pass this on to charity? That's all you need to say. You say yes, you will when you figure it all out.
And when we know the amount is, then that's when we take that decision. Now, can you do likewise, Gregory?
Eamon?
Well, listening to Gregory here. I mean, this is truly bizarre. You know, Gregory is nice to say, let's all study. We'd have to sort of establish exactly how much that MPs are getting in these various ways through expenses today, and then study that and how it might be. I mean, perhaps you should have a commission of inquiry, Gregory, set up, not in order to do anything about MPs' pay, but to decide and to tell us what MPs are actually being paid. The fact of the matter is that all this discussion that we're having, and the reason why it's got such resonance with the public, is that we are living through a period in which, for the people at the bottom half of society, things have been getting gradually worse now for about 7 years. Sort of the standard of living, it's not just measured in money. The actual standard of living of people is falling. Sort of millions of people across these islands. And so when they look and listen to a discussion sort of like this about MPs' pay, they are rightly angry about it. How can we be talking about the rights and wrongs of this pay raise of £7,000 a year, which I say again, I mean, that is almost double what the persons are on sort of job seekers allowance will be getting. Their pay raise is almost double that. Now, given sort of those facts, sort of we can go into all sorts of arcane cul-de-sacs sort of to examine sort of particular aspects of this matter, but people are right to be angry simply because it is unfair.
Seamus, you wanted to come in again.
Yeah, I think there's an awful lot of hot air being spoken. I mean, MPs naturally are going to play to the public gallery and say, oh, I will do this, that or the other thing with the 7,000. It's disgusting and all this type of stuff. They had their opportunity. This is not something that has been bounced upon them. There has been a consultation period. If I take Eamon's point, Eamon would have us all like grey people, all paid exactly the same, no distinction between the different levels of professionalism, etc. Let's deal with the issue. The issue is that an independent body has decided that MPs' pay is falling behind, rightly or wrongly. The general public aren't going to like that. They're not going to clap their hands, as I've already said. But that's the professionals saying this is what the job is worth. It is cost neutral. It's not going to cost the taxpayer a penny more, so we're told by the independent body. We cannot have sameness. We want to attract, I think as one of the callers, Stephen, said, we want to entice the best. What do we have at the moment? We certainly don't have the best, and we've heard from a number of them throughout this debate, but we also have, and I've heard a lot of criticism of this, we have a cabinet that's filled with millionaires who are out of touch with what the ordinary people say. And why are millionaires there? Because they're not dependent on any level of salary. So let's get real here. Let's get down to earth. Let's recognise that an assessment has been done of a job, not of an individual. We all recognise that we don't like politicians. Politicians go around the doorsteps and tell us various things. Some of them deliver.
It's very hard to divorce the two, though, isn't it, Seamus? When people are out there, very hard people to divorce the politician from the party. You know what I mean? It's just difficult to comprehend all of that.
It is extremely difficult to do that. And I think politicians should learn. There is a big disconnect between the people and politics because they distrust them. That's why the turnout is going down election after election.
Well,
politicians are not dealing with the issues that are affecting the general public.